This episode of Scorebook Live today is brought to you by Washington Federal, a proud partner of Scorebook Live. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch. To the episode 3 of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. It's Thursday, May 23rd, 2019, the final week of the spring high school sports schedule here in the great state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller, and we've got all the bases covered. And if that pun didn't drive you away, well, you're in the right place. No Dan Dick out today. We'll catch up with Dan soon. Instead, I'm going to talk to fellow Scorebook Live Washington reporter Todd Millis and preview the top storylines heading into Friday's state championship meets in track and field, baseball, and softball. But before that, a couple headlines from the week. Federal Way standout Jaden McDaniels committed to the University of Washington in the wee hours Tuesday night, giving the Huskies their first recruiting class with multiple five-stars. McDaniels, he put out his much-awaited announcement on social media. While Kentucky fans were likely sound asleep, it was about 10 p.m., and honestly, I was too. He joins Isaiah Stewart, fellow five-star, that could potentially make a pretty dangerous front court for UW. One of the top football recruits in the class of 2020 is Sawyer Racanelli, a two-time defending state champ out of Hawkinson, a wide receiver, committed to Washington as well. I talked to Sawyer and his dad last Friday and wrote a behind the scenes of how that decision was made. That's up live on Scorebook Live Washington's website, sblivewa.com. Scorebook Live Today, the podcast, good news. We're on iTunes. You can find us and subscribe there. You can also subscribe on Google Play, Stitcher, Overcast, SoundCloud, and the TuneIn app, so you can tune that in with dial it up on your smart speaker with Amazon there. Without further ado, let's bring in the man with many hats. On the line, I've got a Scorebook Live Washington sports reporter, Todd Millis, here with just coming off of a an appearance with KJR Radio. Todd, how you doing? It was nice to hear you on the airwaves.
Well, I have always enjoyed just talking to one person rather than two hosts in the masses. So it's good to be back on the podcast. Something a little more low key.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. We've got a lot to talk about. This is going to be a really busy week. Ton going on around the state. High school spring sports championships are underway. You are going to be at the softball state championship, which is just a wildly fun tournament, really fast-paced, lots of games. Give me two storylines. What are the top two storylines that you are looking forward to next weekend or this weekend?
Well, one, I think it's a really it's one of the golden eras of pitching in the state. You look around the state at all classifications, and I'll happen to be at 3A, and there's some fantastic pitchers that'll be there, headlined by Brooke Nelson from Bonnie Lake. She's committed to the University of Washington, probably won't even pitch there, but she set the all-time strikeout mark for her career, and she's over 1,150 and counting. So, but I mean, she's not the only one. There's, you know, Olivia Gray. You know, a young lady that you've seen a lot down there in Southwest Washington, you could make a case that she's the best pitcher in the state. She's going to Portland State. She just gave up her first earned run last week in the district championship game. So, you know, Ice DeJesus from Jackson, another two-way, you know, she's lethal in the circle. She hits bombs. And the same thing with Kiki Malloy, who's signed at Tennessee. I don't think pitching is her best softball attribute. She rocks the ball, so, and she's going there as a center fielder. So, but you take those four, there are real headliners around the state. People know who they are. People know what they've accomplished. And then you have a great run of second, you know, a great run of pitchers in the second tier. I mean, the pitching in this state has grown and evolved so quickly in fast pitch. It's fun to watch. You know, you get people now regularly pitching in the 60 to 65 mile an hour range. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch one, the, what one player on a softball diamond has the ability to just control a game. It's unlike a lot of team sports. So that's something I'm going to see how those headliners, you know, fare this weekend. They did pretty well here the last couple of years. Redmond won a couple of years ago with Kiki Malloy in the circle. Brooke Nelson won last year in 3A. You know, Ice DeJesus won 4A with Jackson last year. Olivia Gray won 2A last year with Woodland. They're all back to try and win another state championship. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those four particular players, those four stars, fare this weekend.
No kidding. And those are really going to be the teams to beat, you know, coming off of state championship performances. It's nice. It's got to be nice if you're a softball coach and you bring back just a dominant pitcher.
Yeah, it is. Now, and then you asked me about a second storyline, and this is something that I've come across here in my research this week. Garfield High School they're in the state championships for, I think, the third consecutive year. This is a program 5 years ago that was as bad a program as you'd ever find around the state. And the way they've turned it around, the way they've gone out and won the Metro League, and the way they won their district championship last week, and they don't look like a regular softball team. It's a very diverse group as what that school draws. And their coach says, you're going to look, I'm going to have all shapes and sizes and, you know, different ethnic groups. And it's truly a melting pot team that's come together and put this phenomenal season together. That's a team that thinks it can win a state championship. It would be fun to see Garfield with Ken Simpson as their coach. His daughters are the two pitchers, led by Kaya Simpson, who's had a fantastic year, going to UC San Diego. Make a run in this tournament, a tournament that, quite frankly, is a lot more wide open than I would have thought a week ago. But after Mountain View upended Bonnie Lake in the district semifinals, I think that brings a few more teams into it. You know, I still think Bonnie Lake's the team to beat Saturday in Lacey, but there's a group of teams there, right there knocking on the door, that would be fun to see if they can make some noise. And Garfield's right at the top of that list for me.
You've been to this event in Lacey in past years. What's it like just from a fan's perspective?
Well, it's crazy. It's the good thing about those four games is, you know, all the fields are sort of diagonal to one another. So you can kind of wander and do a circle and just see kind of how other teams are doing. You know, it's not unlike, you know, Star Trek, that you have 14 events going on at the same time or whatever it is. Or, you know, it's, you just kind of have to pick, you know, to pick things up quickly when you kind of plug into a game and you watch it for 15 minutes and then you go over and you wander over and watch another game and look up at the score. And, you know, you can usually figure out what's going on based on, you know, the swings and the pitches and how the pitchers are reacting and things like that. So that first day Friday, when it's the first round and they have, you know, most of the morning just trying to get to the Elite Eight, and then finally the quarterfinals in the afternoon and early evening, it's a long day. It's a day of survival. And once you get to the Final Four, you feel like you can kind of catch your breath and kind of go more into your routine and plan for a game late in the morning, and then obviously the early afternoon championship game Saturday.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you won't be short of action, short of things to follow throughout the weekend, but you'll be there providing live updates. So you'll be sure to follow Todd at Many Hats Millis and the live updates at sblivewa.com. On to baseball. So I'll be at 3A, 4A baseball on Friday and Saturday there in the semifinals. There are a couple of fun storylines. The top two that I would consider and that I'm most looking forward to seeing. So Olympia finishes fourth in their league, and then they ran through last week. They ran through Skyline, who in our coaches poll at the 4A level was the top team for much of the year. And then they beat Federal Way, who's got that stud pitcher that we've written about. Tyler Heft, I think is how you pronounce his name. Am I right?
Correct. Correct.
So Olympia is playing their best baseball of the season. And, you know, if you ask any baseball coach, that's why it was interesting throughout the season talking to baseball coaches when kind of overseeing this coaches poll, is that coaches will say to you, yeah, it doesn't matter if midseason we're the top team. It's a game of momentum, and anything can happen in the postseason depending on who's on the mound and who's playing well.
Yeah, and let me kind of give you a little background on Olympia. For people that maybe don't know, if they think this is a sort of a surprise, this is not unfamiliar territory for Olympia. This is just unfamiliar territory for this particular regime. This is a program that's put its fair share of players in professional baseball. Adam Conley, who's a reliever for the Miami Marlins, was a Olympia graduate. Back in 2013, it went through a really tough period when Todd McDougall, their longtime coach, who's one of the most respected coaches around the state, died of brain cancer, and it just sort of fell into a hole. It was a huge mourning period for not only that school, but that community. So the fact that this is a team that's kind of reemerged and really chosen the end of the year to kind of play its best baseball. Now, we have to mention, it's a pretty good league they play in, too, for ASBSL with Puyallup, perennial powerhouse. Curtis made it to regionals this year. South Kitsap, unfortunately, you know, they've won it here in the last few years, but kind of ran into a tough district draw. I mean, it's a good league they play in, but right now that's the team that we're talking about from the 4A SPSL. That's sort of the team that if you want to kind of put your rooting interests behind a long shot, this is the team that you're going to probably go to Pasco and kind of cheer for. And obviously you're going to be there. I'm sure you're really looking forward to this.
4 p.m. Friday at the Gesa Stadium in Pasco, they play Issaquah head coach Rob Reese, one of the winningest active coaches in the state. So you're right. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Outside of Olympia, I've got to say, so Skyview is headed back to the semifinals for the third straight year under head coach Seth Johnson, who has been there, I think, for just 4 or 5 years. They've got a really fun team. I watched them earlier in the year play against Camas, who they actually lost the league title to. Camas won outright in the regular season. But Skyview's just got a really solid, lineup. And I elaborate in, we've got a top 20 baseball players to watch across the state this weekend coming out within the next couple days on SB Live WA. And I talk about this a little bit when I highlight shortstop Noah Guyette, who's committed to Air Force. And when I highlight their starting pitcher for Friday, Ryan Pitts, who was the 4A Greater St. Helens League Player of the Year. The pitchers for Skyview, especially Pitts, they really attack. They're going for strikes, and this is per Seth Johnson, their head coach. He's like, we just feel really comfortable, you know, attacking early, throwing for contact. And that's because we've got this infield that's just rock solid. And you look at a guy like Noah Guyette, and he's really one of the reasons. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. The pitchers have a lot of trust in their defense. And Skyview hasn't brought home a state title, but they're going to be looking to this Friday at 7 p.m. when they face Moses Lake.
Yeah, you keep knocking on the door, Andy. You know, sooner or later, somebody's going to answer the door. And for Skyview to be there in this position as many times over the last 3 years, it's sooner or later, they're going to break through and win this thing. I've seen it with South Kitsap here a few years ago. Puyallup, it took them. I mean, it's a process. I think people, you know, you very rarely do you get to this juncture because it's such a crapshoot with matchups and the way the regional thing's set up and back-to-back games in one day. It's a real crapshoot on getting to the Final Four. It's a process, and Skyview has seemingly figured out the process, and they got something that they really believe in. I'll tell you this much: a team that's been there for three consecutive years, I wouldn't bet against. This might be the year that, even though they didn't win their league, and I saw Camas won the West Central District title as well. it's funny that Skyview has sort of gotten the last laugh out of the West Central Southwest District again. So a good rooting interest there as they play Moses Lake in the 4A. It should be some really good baseball you're going to watch there in Pasco.
Certainly. And you know, elaborating on what you said, you know, they're starting Ryan Pitts Friday on the mound, but they've got capable arms behind him. Lowell Dunmeyer, tall 6'5" lefty. And then, of course, Cooper Barnum, who's been kind of working his way back throughout the regular season, throughout the postseason. They've got guys outside of Pitts. So, you know, that's just as important, your depth on the mound this time of year and this weekend especially.
Yeah, no question. If you have a pair of pitchers you trust in back-to-back games in one day or back-to-back games in back-to-back days, it's a huge advantage at this particular year. So, again, Andy will be down in Pasco Friday and Saturday to track the every game in 4A and 3A baseball. So please follow him when it comes to getting all your state baseball news. And I'm sure we have correspondents around the state, too, that will keep you plugged in on what's going on in 2A and 1A as well.
You know, you said the word track, and that's a perfect transition. How about this? So we got Star Trek this weekend. You looked at the top girls' headlines, the top boys' headlines into state track. It's one of the most just busy and fun events that the WIA puts on, state events, and it's at Mount Tahoma High School again. Is that right? What are the top storylines heading in from the boys' side? Let's start there.
Well, what are you saying? Because I like the MAC Classic, and I like the Star Trek, and I like the state softball. I like a little chaos in my life. Is that what you're getting at there, Andy?
No, absolutely.
No, it is. It's you know, when I started in sports writing, Star Trek was at Lincoln Bowl. It's magic. I mean, it's an acquired taste of a sport, but it really is to watch something in Lincoln Bowl, and then it's been over in Pasco, and now it's been at Mount Tahoma the last, oh, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 years. You know, it's championship Friday and Saturday with a big crowd is a lot of fun. Now, on the girls' side, I'm looking, you know, Tahoma's right in the middle of a 4A dynasty. They have the sisters, Aaliyah and Alicia Wilson. They've been phenomenal. It's interesting because 5 or 6 years ago when Tahoma was sort of building this thing, they did it with distance runners. They were really good in the state cross country meet in the fall. And then they had this group of cross country runners that really kind of carried the mail at the state track meet. Well, now they've had this wonderful group of sprinters and jumpers that have really sort of balanced it out. It's really become, right now, it's the girls' powerhouse around the state, and I know Kamiakin's probably going to wince when they hear that because they've had such a great run in 3A over the years. But this is a real dynasty right now, and one that I don't see ending anytime soon. They've got depth, talent, and old and young. So I'm going to look to see how they handle their business this weekend. It would take a Herculean effort from somebody else to come in and beat them. So, if you want to come out and watch state records being set, chances are somebody running in blue with Tahoma on it is the one that you're going to see. So, now on the boys' side, it's interesting. You know, last year we had something weird happen in 4A with I think it was four teams that tied for the state championship. And the interesting part was Walla Walla, and Walla Walla has a really good team that nobody knows about. They have Patrick Uchinski. I think he's going to Washington State for football. He's a good thrower. If they had finished 0.4 of a second faster, or 0.04 of a second, sorry, faster in the 4x4, they would have placed high enough to win the state championship. But because they finished third, they didn't even get on the podium. That's how crazy 4A boys was last year. And I'm kind of expecting the same thing to happen this year. You know, 40 points again might be the magic number for somebody to come in and win. It could be a Camas. It could be a Walla Walla again. It could be Tahoma, which would be interesting, a possible sweep. So it could be one of the GSL schools. So there are a lot of things in play right now for 4A boys. So if you want excitement and suspense and something that goes right down to the 4x4 relay on Saturday night, that's kind of the race I would be interested in watching, just to see if that race again decides the team championship.
You can find, again, content leading up. We've got you put together all the top times on the boys and the girls site heading into the weekend on SBLiveWA.com. So thanks, Todd. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I know it'll be busy, but it won't be anything. All right, I should say it'll be something I'm looking forward to. It should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, and please, again, please read us at scorebooklive.com. The two of us have had some busy weeks trying to bring you, you know, quality content on all fronts. And right now we're really deep into this Spring Fest. So appreciate everybody who's reading and who's listening. And we'll check in next week.